Why do you get out of bed in the morning? What makes your life meaningful, rewarding? We all have questions about the meaning and purpose of our lives. Only God has compelling answers. This video reveals a surprisingly simple way to know God's purposes and plans for your life. God has plans for you. Specific, detailed plans. Jeremiah 29:11 explains, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God's plans for you are personal and they're very specific. They're not just general principles or ideas or, this is my plan for all mankind. No, God says to me, this is my plan for you, Dave Milford, today. And he says the same thing to you. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has plans for what you're going to do today, tomorrow, and every day for your life. How can we know what these specific works are? First, obviously, we need to surrender our lives to God. So if you haven't, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to make him both your Savior and your Lord. You confess your sins, and then you surrender. You let him determine your future. Second, okay, now what? The next step is to pray and ask God for direction. Scripture is very clear, you have not because you ask not. Like many people, I struggled with this for years. I kept praying, and here's what I expected. I was waiting for God to drop this major vision on me like God did with Moses. I also wanted a detailed roadmap showing the steps to get there. Like most people, God never answered those prayers, not with a big vision or a detailed map of my journey. I now know that Moses is the exception. Most of the leaders in the Bible didn't get detailed instructions. They got a step, usually one step. In Matthew 4:18-22, Jesus called the first disciples, Peter and his brother Andrew, with these words, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Jesus then called James and John. Their response? Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus didn't give them any details. He didn't tell them how long they would be gone or what would be expected of them. He didn't tell them it was a lifelong assignment. He didn't tell them where he was going or what they would be doing. He didn't tell them how he would provide for them or how they would provide for their families. God often calls us without giving us details, and he doesn't answer all of the many questions we have and the concerns that we have. Abraham was told to leave his home and his family to go to the land God would give him. God didn't give Abraham any details. There was no map, just a first step. There are thousands of examples down through history, both in the Bible and afterwards, where people were called and given a first step but no details. Missionaries, pastors, and ordinary Christians from all walks of life have had this experience. I bet many of you have had this experience. So how do you find God's plan, his specifics, once you have a general direction? Pastor Henry Blackaby tells an interesting story, and there's a powerful principle from this. Pastor Blackaby's church felt God called them to establish a student ministry on a campus in their city. There were thousands of students on this campus, yet for almost 2 years, they tried and failed to establish a Bible study in the dorms of that university. He writes, "One Sunday, I pulled our students together and said, 'This week, I want you to go to the campus and watch to see where God is working. If God shows you where he's working, immediately join him.' They asked me to explain. God had impressed on my heart two scriptures. Romans 3:10-11. There's no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. And John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." I explained. According to these passages, people do not seek God on their own initiative. People don't ask questions about spiritual matters unless God is at work in their lives. When you see someone seeking or asking questions about Christianity, you're witnessing God at work. That's something only God does in people's lives. If, during the course of your day attending class, someone starts asking you spiritual questions, whatever else you may have planned, don't do it. Cancel what you had planned and spend time with that individual to discover what God is doing. That week, our students went onto the campus, watching to see where God was at work so they could join him. On Wednesday, one of the female students excitedly reported, "Pastor, a girl who's been in classes with me for 2 years approached me after class yesterday. She said, 'I think you might be a Christian.' I need to talk to you. I remembered what you said. I had class in a few minutes, but I skipped it. We went to the cafeteria to talk. She said, 11 of us girls in the dorm have been studying the Bible, and none of us are Christians. Do you know someone who could lead us in a Bible study? As a result of that contact, we started 3 Bible study programs in the women's dorms and 2 in the men's. For almost 2 years, we had tried to do something for God and failed. Then, in 3 days, we looked to see where God was working and what a difference that made. Over the following years, hundreds of students trusted God as Savior and Lord through that student ministry. Many of those surrendered to full-time ministry and are now serving as pastors and missionaries all over the world. This story is from Henry Blackaby's best-selling book, Experiencing God, a book that greatly impacted me as a young Christian. You'll find a link to this book in the description. I highly recommend this book. Henry Blackaby's message, Watch to See Where God is Working and Join Him in His Work, has gone literally around the world. I've experienced the power of this myself many times. We see this in the lives of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were on a missionary journey. It appears God didn't give them specific directions. Acts 16 shows that they tried to preach in the province of Asia, but Holy Spirit prevented them. In other words, they had a check in their spirit. They headed north to Bithynia, but Holy Spirit stopped them again. Again, he said no. So they went to Troas. In Acts 16:9, it continues, that night Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Now, they had a direction, preach the gospel. Finally, they had a location, Macedonia, but God didn't give them a city. He didn't give them an exact location. So they went to one of the major cities in Macedonia, Philippi. What did they do when they got there? In Philippi, they looked to see where God was working. Look at Acts chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Luke writes, on the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer, and we sat down to speak to some of the women who had gathered there. So they didn't just start launching out a ministry. They went to see where people were already connected to God, where God was already working in the hearts of people. They found Jewish worshipers of God. These people were not yet Christians. In fact, they probably hadn't heard about Jesus yet. So what happened? Verse 14. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized and she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us until we agreed. Paul looked for people who already believed in God, but not yet believe in Jesus. Again, probably because they hadn't heard about him. He then told them the gospel of Jesus Christ. God opened Lydia's heart. She was born again. She brought Paul and Silas into her home and worked with them to launch the church in Philippi. Look to see what God is doing. Wherever you are right now, look to see what God is doing. It may be in your home, in your workplace, in your school. It could even be in a supermarket, in a Walmart. If you look around, God is working in the lives of people. People are hungry. They're searching. They're looking for truth. Some people have needs. Look to see where God is moving and you'll find it. When I was teaching in China in the late 1980s and early 1990s, I wasn't allowed to share Jesus or the gospel. So I used to, what I called, go fishing. At the end of a class, I would write a verse from Proverbs on the blackboard. I used Proverbs that had a philosophical but also a spiritual meaning. Then I would wait and see who came to my office hours in the afternoon to ask me what that proverb meant. The students who came were the ones who were spiritually hungry. That was where God was working. And those students were open to learn about Jesus. We get our assignments from God daily. Most of us want to know everything before we take a step. We want a 20-year plan and detailed instructions about what to do and how to do it. God doesn't give us that. No, instead, he walks with us, guiding us himself. He won't let us wander off on our own. He insists on going with us, guiding us each step of the way. He makes our journey possible only when we walk with him. And that's a very good thing. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord who takes delight in his journey. Proverbs 20:24, a man's steps are from the Lord. So how can anyone understand his own way? And Jeremiah 10:23, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not his own. No one who walks directs his own steps. Activation. Today, look around you. Where is God working? Like Jesus, we need to decide to do only what God is doing. In John 5:19, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Look to see what the Father is doing. Join him. As you do that, you'll find that this is God's will for your life. As you do the little things and are faithful, God will give you greater and greater assignment." For practical steps on how to create margin, the time, energy, and resources you need so you can finish God's daily assignments for you, watch. God is going to interrupt your plans to do even greater things through you. This video will help you to see where God is working and to join him. If you enjoyed this podcast, please like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you for listening, and thank you for doing the activation to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Romans 12:2, New Living Translation. Until next time, God bless.